chapter 31. Abbot Bernard watched the two young shrews as they attacked the Abbey breakfast board like hungry wolves, swigging pear cordial, stuffing plum and greengage tarts, and grabbing hot elderberry muffins dripping with honey.
My word, Mother Millers, those two young ones can put it away.
Aye, bless them. You'd think we were facing a 10-season famine.
Simeon checked the paw of one from reaching for an acorn and rhubarb crumble.
How many more of you do the sea rats have?
For 17, I suppose. Or 18. Aye, 18, Kevin the squirrel.
Friar Alder turned his eyes upward, nudging young Cocklebear.
Deary me, imagine another 18 like that at breakfast.
Boiling bread loaves, Friar. They'd eat us out of kitchen and abbey.
Clary sat in Gabe Quill's cellar, sampling the latest rosehip squash with formol as they nibbled cheese and beech-mast bake to counteract the sweetness of the drink.
Aha! You say you want four of us'ns this coming night, sir?
Yes, indeed. Four stout male chaps. All good diggers, mind you.
Aha! Bain't no critter better at digging than us molars. I'd say Dan'l, Buxton, Ruby and myself. I weans the wants.
Righty-ho, Formel, sir. Meet us at the gatehouse 2 hours after dark.
Don't ye worry, sir. Us'll be there. Boy, okay, us will.
Good chap. Knew I could count on you. Have some more of this rosehip stuff. Quite nice, but a trifle sweet, what?
No sweeter than rosehips ought to be, sir. Fill her up, if ye please.
Gabe Quill filled the jug from a polished cask. He set it on the table, sniffing righteously over the remarks being made about the sweetness of his rosehip squash.
Try some of this elderflower and larkspur cordial if you likes a less sweeter drink. But while you're doing that, tell me, Mr. Clary, why did you only free 2 slaves last night?
Clary sipped the new drink, raising his eyebrows appreciatively.
Well, Mr. Quill, it's quite simple, really. More than 2 at a time would be rather awkward to cope with, seeing as how they've got to be helped every step of the way. After all, they are in chains, you know. Being all slaves, they're still chained in 2s, each creature to his galley bench partner. If we can manage more than 2, all well and good. We'll see how many of the poor blighters we can bag tonight. Now listen carefully, Formol, me old digger. Here's the plan.
Greypatch had been all day making the sea rat's woodland camp secure against intruders. He sat on a log, checking out the new setup with Fishkill.
Trip wires hidden in the undergrowth all around the edges of the camp. Rope traps in the trees.
Aye, Captain. Me and Frink and Kaibo rigged the rope traps. Any beast sneaking around out there at night will find themselves suddenly hanging upside down from a tree. The trip wires are all stretched tight and well hidden too.
Good. Now these ore slaves, we'll hold them in the centre of the camp, just to one side of the main fire. That way, they'll be surrounded by the crew.
The evening fires had been lit. All around them, sea rats squatted, cooking whatever they had found during the day. Big Fang roasted dandelion roots and some small hard apples he and Lardgut had come across, grumbling as he watched Kaibo.
What use is roots and sour apples to me and Lardgut? We're sea rats. This woodland garbage wouldn't feed a sick maggot. Kaibo, matey, how's about sharing that great fat wood pigeon you're roasting with a couple of old messmates?
Kaibo kept his eyes on the roasting meat, his claw straying to a long rusty dagger he kept nearby.
Get your own rations, Big Fang. Me and Fishgill and Greypatch snared this one while we was laying out tripwires and you was lying round snoring like a hog. You want meat? Get out and hunt it.
Lardgut's eyes strayed to the roasting wood pigeon as he absently reached into the embers for a toasted apple, with the result that he scorched his claws. Bad-temperedly, he flung the apple from him.
Ouch! Wretches! I'll starve before I eat that muck.
Big Fang looked around at other sea rats, who had not been fortunate enough to obtain meat. They were toasting, roasting and charring almost any kind of vegetation they could scavenge. Big Fang spat into the flames.
Ha! Living off the fat of the land, eh, buckles? Does this look like the berth we was promised? landlords of Mossflower. Look at us, grubbing for roots and berries, scraping about and fighting with your own shipmates for anything growing out of the soil. Why don't we attack Redwall again? That's what I want to know. Sitting round protecting some horse slaves like they was precious booty, where's that a going to get us, eh?
Murmurs of agreement arose around the camp.